Good morning, family. It's a beautiful day today. A little cold. It may be cold outside, but it's warm in our hearts with the presence of the Lord. Thank you, Jesus. We're going to do a new song today at the end, and it's called I Surrender. And I think it might be like a theme for the service today. When I heard it, I just knew that the Lord wanted to kind of do something through that this morning. The idea of surrender kind of goes against our natural mindset. You're fighting a battle, you know, United States fighting our enemy. We just don't like the thought of surrendering. We want to win. But the kingdom of God works opposite of the world. And so as we surrender, we win. Because as we surrender, he then causes us to win the battle. Doesn't make sense to our natural minds, but I think maybe as we go through the service, the Lord will reveal even more about what he wants for us today. Father, we just thank you for this opportunity to surrender to you once again our lives. Lord, to not try to figure it all out ourselves and try to accomplish everything on our own, but Lord, to let you be the one that opens doors for us. You be the one, Lord, that makes it so that there's seems to be no way that you'll make a way. And Lord, I know that many of us in our own mindsets, Lord, sometimes block and stop you from being able to do that because we don't know how to surrender. So Lord, teach us, Lord, the gift of surrendering to you. And we just thank you, Lord, that you will be lifted up and exalted here this morning as we surrender to you. In Jesus' name.
Thank you. revival study, and the Lord was talking to me about fear over the last couple weeks, and I found this awesome story about it almost at first when I read it, it didn't seem like it could be real, but it's about a place called Phillip Island, Australia. And in this video that I was watching, it was about the smallest penguins in the world, and they're not any more than a foot tall, and some of them are much shorter. And what they do is the one that provides the food goes out in the morning and leaves what they call their little hovels, and there's thousands upon thousands of them on this island. And the parents go out in the morning and they catch all the catch that they can catch, and then at nighttime they come back, but then they stand at the edge of the ocean. They don't come any further. And the reason for that is because they are fearful. And the reason that they're fearful is because they're so little, they can easily be picked off by a predator. So when they think the coast is clear, they start waddling, and they're really, you know, short to the ground. And so you can just imagine in your mind what this looks like, and they're waddling. But if they see anything out of their peripheral, no matter how far they've gotten, they will turn around and go back to the water, or if they're far enough, they'll really just try as quick as they can to get to their hovel, because they don't want to be, they're easily picked off, right? Well, the Lord was really showing me, I'm fearful like that. Like, I don't like to leave what's comfortable, or I don't like to run ahead. And sometimes God says, hey, it's okay. You can do that. It's all right to do that. And the thing that the Lord gave me was, it says in Psalms, that when fear strikes, it's going to. There's no doubt about it. But when it strikes, I look to Him. When it strikes, I need to quit looking around me, people around me, circumstances around me. I need to look to Him when it strikes, not if it does, because the scripture is very clear. It will. And it's very clear that the enemy will make us fearful. And so we need to be very careful about that. But we don't need to make it stop us in our tracks to where we turn back around and scamper. Now, this is true. This true story. It's called the Fairy Penguins. And they call it the Parade of the Penguins. And they have these built-in bleachers. People can buy tickets, come and sit and watch what they call the Parade of the Penguins. I mean, it's true. And Mike, I was telling him this story when he got home, and he says, I didn't think penguins could live that far down. I thought they lived only in the cold. But this is just this one particular penguin. So anytime you guys think about being fearful, I want you to remember that teeny tiny little bird that is real squatty in the bottom with teeny tiny little legs scampering across this sand trying to make sure that it doesn't get picked off so it can take its baby food. You guys, don't let fear stop you from doing what God's called you to do. Press ahead. Push ahead. Penguin, Phillip's Island, Australia. You know just what to do.
Okay. Oops. Oof. So this song, I Surrender, has a lot to do with what I've been through the last month or more, you know, looking for a job. Okay, because I'm what's known as an independent provider, which means I don't have to pay attention to an agency because the person who hires me is the person I'm caring for. And I'm kind of spoiled to that position because I don't do rules very well. So my stance has always been, I will never work for an agency. Well, guess what? The Lord brought me to this point where I finally said, okay, Lord, I will go apply at the agencies. I will go where you send me because I know this is what you want me to do. I don't like it, but I'll do it. Well, in the process of trying to, and I haven't gotten unemployment still. I've been fighting that battle. But in the process of all of this, there was a lady I was talking to who was helping me. And when she realized I was a caregiver, she said, oh, my mom uses a caregiver. And we started having this conversation. And then the same woman had to be at my house to help us sign some papers for the veteran, you know, for the VA loan and stuff. So she had to be at my house and see me at home. Didn't hear anything else from her because I had told her, if you need me, just let me know. Then I started the agency walk and I applied at a couple agencies, and Hope and Gaylene basically had to do 30-minute references for me to this agency. They did my background check. They sent me for the fingerprints. And in the process, this woman calls me and says, my mother will be calling you. And her mother didn't call me. And she didn't call me. And then I got a message one night that this woman had called me, and I didn't get a chance to call her back. It's 8:00 at night. I'm not calling a senior at 8 at night and her worry about her mom. Well, then, long story short, I went and interviewed with this woman last Sunday, and I got this job. And this job is not an agency provisional job. This is an independent provider job. And I know that it's because I surrendered my will and did what I was told to do, that the Lord rewarded me with what he knew my heart wants, and that is to care for somebody in their home. That I get as an independent, you know, when you're an agency says you can only take them shopping once a week. You can't take them to get their hair done. You can't take them to see family members. You can't do any of that. Well, as an IP, guess what? I can, because I'm an independent and it's what my client wants. So there we go.
I'm not going to become part of an agency. And because of your obedience, that opened up the door for what your heart really... And you were trying for a long time, trying to find something independent.
Since February 2nd.
Yeah.
And this is the second time the Lord has called me out of a purpose that I placed in my heart and said I would never, ever do.
Right.
This is the second time he made me...
Inner vows are really dangerous.
Yes, they are.
Even if they make sense to you, they're dangerous. We should always say, Lord, Lord, have your way with me. Just like in me. Yeah, exactly. Well, praise the Lord. Hi, everyone. You have something to...
I do.
Oh, good.
I just wanted to remind everybody about Bible study starting on Thursday night at my house. And if you didn't get a card last week...
It started last Thursday night.
It started last Thursday night, but here they are up here. And then... Again, our Northwest Grace International Women's Conference is in a month. And if you need information about that, it's up here as well. So hope you guys can come. And a big hello to Katie.
Yes.
Katie is home.
She's home for one more day.
No, today. She leaves today.
Do you leave today? And you came to visit us today? Oh, man, that's like commitment. Thank you, hon. So good to see you.
We're very happy to see you.
And then you get your summer break. Oh, April 26th? Oh, you're almost done then. You're probably looking forward to... Are you looking forward to being back up here?
More or less.
More or less. Which is it, more or less? Always nice to know. Notice they didn't look at the parents, more or less. That's cool. Well, yeah, the Lord's good.
He is very
good. I was out of town this week, and on the way out that morning, I was taking Tim to work, and the scripture all of a sudden came to my heart, and I'm like, why is that coming to my heart? And I thought, okay, well, yeah, I'm thinking about that, and I'm pondering what it was saying. I don't want to say what it was, because then I'm letting the cat out of the bag, and you guys start to go, oh, okay, I'll run down this track. So I was like thinking about it and considering it, and I had to go on a drive on Tuesday, and on the drive I had thought about it again, so it's like twice, and I was going to be staying at a place for 3 days, and so I got to the location. I started doing what my plans were to be there and staying busy, and the second night there I looked at my phone. And that scripture was on my phone.
That's awesome.
In the Bible program. And I don't remember opening up the Bible program and looking or anything on my phone. But even if I did, I had forgotten about it. So I went to the phone, went to the scriptures, and there it was. And so two or three witnesses usually tells me, okay, something's up. So I said, Lord, so obviously it wasn't for this week. So I'm going to just believe that it's for this weekend. On Monday night, I was at the healing rooms. I showed up and surprised Joe and Christine, and they were overdoing something with the windows, and I snuck in, and I was sitting down, and Christine comes in, and she goes, had to put on her glasses, make sure I was there, and it was really good, but that song, I Surrender, played, and that song's amazing, and so I went to our list. And it was there. I go, okay, Lord. So I listened to that song several times this week. And I didn't know what your testimony was going to be. So that's awesome. But, it's a principle that I think we're going to see in this lesson today. Mm-hmm. Even though it's not like called I Surrender. I think there's a principle that we need to follow through to have things happen. So I entitled this three things. And now three things could be many things, three things could be Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. Three things could be spirit, soul, and body. Three things could be the Holy of Holies, the inner court, and the outer court. I mean, there's all kinds of three things, especially if you're a Bible person, and I'm just naming a few. Faith, hope, and love. The greatest of these is love. But these three things are sometimes overlooked because I think, as I did, I looked at them from an old mindset. So this is one of those scriptures that God brought back to my remembrance. And because of my new understanding of the love of God, the grace of God, the hope of God, I'm reading these scriptures different. So I thought I would share it with you today, or the Lord thought he would share it with all of us. So are you ready to read?
Mm-hmm.
All right.
John 16, I'm noticing it's only 5 through 11. We don't have the other.
Oh, yeah,
12,
it came
13.
Over 5:14.
It's 5 through 11 only, okay?
That's an editing error of my part.
verse 5, but now I go away to him who sent me, and none of you asks me, where are you going? But because I have said these things to you, sorrow has filled your heart. Nevertheless, I tell you the truth. It is to your advantage that I go away, for if I do not go away, the Helper will not come to you. But if I depart, I will send him to you. And when he has come, he will convict the world of sin and of righteousness and of judgment. Of sin, because they do not believe in me. Of righteousness, because I go to my Father and you see me no more. Of judgment, because the ruler of this world is judged.
So I'm going to go back here for a moment. So this is Jesus, probably 12 hours before he, maybe less, before he ends up in the hands of the crowd and the group that came to basically arrest him and bring false charges. I think it was the Jewish group that they turned him into the Romans afterwards. But this was a group that was of the mob mentality that Jesus was out there blaspheming God because he was saying he was the Son of God. He was saying that he was going to rebuild a temple in 3 days. And of course, they were not understanding any
and
of his words.
They were saying he was blaspheming God.
And they were saying he was blaspheming God. But anyway, this is one of the final things that he's saying to his disciples. Because the next chapter, he goes into a garden and he's praying before the Father, and then we know that he goes another time into the Garden of Gethsemane, and then he's, you know, yielding his will finally to go to the cross. Mm-hmm. But he's telling them that he's going to be going away, but that it's good that he's going away. He actually says in the Greek, it says, it's actually to your advantage that I'm going away. Now, his disciples couldn't understand that because Jesus was the one who was teaching them all the words of life. He was communicating to them mm-hmm. the realities of the kingdom of God, you know, things that they had probably never heard before. And they had probably awakened to a new life themselves. You know,
how
they had
could
left
anything the, be better than Jesus?
Well, yeah, at that time,
like,
I mean,
to them, when you're saying it's advantageous that I go, they're like, how can that be? Like, you're God. Like, you know what I mean? You're Jesus. How can it be any better?
Right. And of course, he goes further down in this chapter of explaining more what the Holy Spirit's going to do. But what he's communicating here is that the Holy Spirit is going to be coming. And he says, because he's going to come, and I will send him to you. Wait, here he goes. And when he has come, he will convict the world of sin, of righteousness, and of judgment. So those three things are the three things that we're going to focus on. So I'll go ahead and move to this. So what we're looking at here is three attributes of the Holy Spirit working in the world to help bring people to know God. And I want to you know, challenge us here, because again, we can get to the mindset, well, you know, I'm saved, I'm past all this, you know, I don't need the work of the Holy Spirit in my life doing this, because, you know, I've given my heart to the Lord, you know, I've been baptized. And so we get this idea that this is just for sinners.
Yeah, we're all good.
We're all good. And it's very possible we all are good in here today. But I want us to keep in mind the words, I surrender. I surrender as we go through this. So Jesus says here, and when he has come, this is the Holy Spirit, he will convict the world of sin, of righteousness, and judgment. So let's look at the first thing. Convict the world of sin. Now, again, we read that, convict the world of sin. We think, well, that's the world. That's mm-hmm. not me. That's going to be just, you know, the world's, you know, that the world, the earth that doesn't know him, mm-hmm. the people that don't know him. It's obviously not me, right? It's not us, is it?
It can't be.
Why would it be us? Well, let's look at this word convict. It means to properly to convince with solid, compelling evidence, especially to expose, prove, wrong, or connect. So let's look at it this way. When I would read that word, convict the world of sin, to me it would mean like, yes, tell those dirty, rotten sinners that they need Jesus. Anybody else think that?
Mm-hmm.
Or is that just me?
No.
I mean, that's why when I used to read that, convict the world of sin. Yes, those dirty, rotten sinners, they need Jesus.
Take a mirror.
Yeah, exactly. It wasn't me, because I'd already been in the camp, you know, so it's all good. I'm good. But when you study this out, it's properly to convince with solid, compelling evidence. In other words, it's proving, another word that could be used, is to prove that there is a reason why we have sin. Now, nobody likes to admit they have sin. I mean, sin, you know, sin, and it's just the three-letter word. It just has that bad connotation. You know, like when someone said, you're sinning, it's like, what? How dare you to even, you know, say that? You know, it's like one of those things that, you know, you don't want to say to your spouse, well, what are you sinning for? It's like, you know.
You hope they're in the right frame of mind.
Don't say, yeah, you probably don't want to be saying it that way. Let the Holy Spirit do that. That's his job. But to properly convince with solid, compelling evidence, okay? Or expose. I believe it's like exposing the heart. So let's look at this word sin. Now, you guys have probably heard this before, but the word sin is the word harmatia, and it means, it's derived from two words, not and a part or share of. So properly, it could mean that you're not a part of, or you're not sharing, or you're in a forfeiture because you're not hitting the mark. You're missing the mark. Some people will say, well, it just means to miss the mark. But that's not all it means. It means that you're not a part of something. You're forfeiting something. You're forfeiting something? What?
Forfeiting
something. Because you're not hitting the mark, or you're missing the mark. You're not hitting the target. So if we look at this here, picture, this will give you an idea. So let's say, well, okay, yeah, I'm playing, you know, darts, or I'm shooting arrows. Those look like they're darts. I'm shooting darts, and I'm not doing well, you know, in this game. But let's say that this isn't just, you know, you playing, you know, in your basement. This is a tournament you're in.
Right.
And this is what you're doing. And the other people around you are hitting that target. Well, you're forfeiting that game because you're not hitting anything. And so when we think about missing the mark, we think about sinning. Again, we think of the world. But let's examine our hearts today. What is it that we're still like holding on to? That because we're holding on to that, it's causing us to still miss the mark. It's causing us to still not be able to be a part of something. Let me look back here. Be a part of something God has for us.
Yeah.
Well, I mean, it says that he's given us all things that pertain to life and godliness. It says that he's the Father of lights and all good things come from him. But is it possible, like that story you've said before, a little girl, she was holding on to this ratty old fake necklace. And her dad just says, can you please just, you know, give that to me? I've got something for you. And she's just like, no, daddy, no, and it's mine. And she's like, please, honey, will you give that to me? And she's just like holding on to it for dear life, you know, because he wants it from her, you know. And you know, I'm telling
he
your story.
He wants her to surrender.
Wants her to surrender it because he's got something better. But she thinks this little pearl fake necklace is it. Mm-hmm. So finally, through her tears, she releases it. Then he takes it out of her hands and he puts a brand new real pearl necklace in her hands.
Yeah.
Could it be that God has something that he wants us to be a part of, but because we're so held by tradition, right, Joe? Held by our own mindsets, our own old ways, that we can't even embrace it. Because we're so, no, this is, and let's say it's a way of worshiping God. No, God, this is the way to worship you. This is the only way to worship you. And so I'm holding on to it. But what if he says, no, son, I want to release you into something new. No, I'm not going to let go of this. And because you can't surrender what you are so familiar with, mm-hmm. what you're so already attached to, almost more than God, because God's asking you to give it up and you can't let it go. You end up maybe missing out or forfeiting something that he'll move you into that will break you free into a new world in God.
I think there's a really, really important little statement that you read earlier where it says, especially to expose,
mm-hmm.
prove wrong, or connect. I mean, if we're serious about this relationship with God, if we are like really wanting more and more and more of him, we're going to be willing to be exposed. We're going to be willing to let him show us what's in there that's not of him. And a lot of times it's easier for us just to cover it up or push it into a corner and throw a blanket over it and then think that we're smooth sailing. But God is like, no, you know, get in the corner, get that thing out. I mean, that's keeping you and it's keeping your eye thinking, okay, maybe some other time when he's not looking, I can go over there and I can, you know, go to this and explore it a little bit more. But God wants all of that idolatry, actually is what it is, out of our lives,
mm-hmm.
so that we can be exposed enough to be proven wrong if we're wrong, or just a gentle correction if we're in the right direction but kind of going off course a little bit, allowing him to do that in our lives so that we can go where he needs us to be, do
yeah.
what he needs us to do, say what he needs us to say.
Exactly. And even though it may not be quote unquote sin like we think sin is, mm-hmm. you know, because most people think sin, well, sin is like, you know, rape, adultery, you know, all these things, you know, lying, cheating, stealing, you've got all these names that you can put, you know, sin. Obviously those are sins because they're not even us responding properly to what we know in our heart. But sin can also be just saying no, God.
Mm-hmm.
When he wants you to do something, that can be sin. That's missing the mark. That's missing the mark of that high calling that Christ Jesus has for us. Okay. So, first thing, let's put this all together. So, convince the world, and we are also in the world. This isn't just for non-Christians. But know that you don't have to go out there and make people feel horrible about themselves. Holy Spirit is really good about revealing our lack of God. I know it's sometimes easy to look at the world and see the situations and the things that they're doing and the, you know, the words that they say, all those, and kind of make a judgment about them. You know, kind of say, well, you know, it's you know, they're just going to hell. You know, it's like, you know, there's
in a
handbasket, you know. But know that God loves them and that the Holy Spirit is working in their lives to convince them with solid, compelling evidence
mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
that they have missed the mark and will experience loss. But just keep in mind, we can do the same thing.
Mm-hmm.
Holy Spirit's working in our lives can do the same thing, can convince us of there's things that we're missing or things that we're holding on to or mm-hmm. things that we've let go that God wanted us to have. And we're missing the mark and we're going to experience loss because
of some sort. Mm-hmm.
Just like that little girl holding on to that, you know, what she considered so dear, but he had something real for her.
Can I give an example?
Oh, another one? Sure.
Uh-huh.
Yeah.
And can I use you?
Me? Really? Okay.
So yes or no?
Yes or no.
We do that all the time.
Yes. Go ahead.
So he was really getting wrapped up in the political stuff. Like he was
you had to go there.
Goodness. Like it was all day long. Like one report after another. And I in my heart knew that he was getting caught up in it. Like he was getting caught up in it. But it's like, I am not going to be Junior Holy Spirit to my husband. God's capable of telling him. Because if I tell him, he would never get angry at me. Because he just doesn't do that. But he might get a little defensive. Like, what do you mean? You know? So I'm just like, Lord, if this is really what you want him to see since I'm seeing it, show him. And I don't know, somebody else must have said something to him. Or God spoke to him or something.
God spoke to me.
He completely cut it off completely, like turned it all off. It wasn't sin. What was the problem was how it was affecting him and how it was capturing him.
My emotions.
His emotions, his feeling, everything. It was captivating him to the point that captivation was no longer toward the Lord.
I was missing the mark. I was then sinning. She didn't want to say
that. I didn't say
sinning.
That. but that's a good example, though.
That is a good
understand?
Example. Yes,
yeah.
because it was something that, you know, you could say, well, you know, I was staying informed. You know, I was, you know, being able to, you know, because I would pray about things, you know, but I get more frustrated than praying. But the point being is that I was, my heart was focusing on that so much that's what was becoming what was coming out of me. That guard your heart with all diligence scripture was not being evident in my life.
And all he was talking about was politics, and I was getting sick of it.
Yeah.
Lord, show him.
Help him, Jesus. Okay, here we go. So listen to this. This is interesting because years ago, I don't think I read this scripture this way. I think I read this scripture, convict the world of sin because they're dirty, rotten sinners. Convict the world of sin because they don't measure up. Convict the world of sin because they've fallen from Adam and it's, you know, there's no hope for them unless they realize they're horrible sinners. But that's not what Jesus said at all. He said, convict the world of sin because they do not believe in me. It wasn't about any of their conduct. It was about the fact that they weren't believing in him. Holy Spirit wants us to be convicted of sin, not so we can know how bad we are, so that we can start believing in the one that frees us from that. Now, let's go back to what I was saying. We're holding on to something. Could it be the fact that we're not believing in God is why we won't let go of something? Because we can't trust him enough. I mean, you know, I've had this one thing for a long time, and it's a good thing, God. Yet he says, but son, daughter, I have something better. It all comes down to, do we trust him? Do we believe in him? Mm-hmm. The second thing, convict the world of righteousness. Now, again, that sounds pretty clear. I mean, they're unrighteous, they need righteousness. But what does righteousness mean? Well, righteousness means I know there's lots of stuff up there, but it means a judicial verdict or the verdict of approval. Divine approval. God's approval. Now, if we go back to that scripture, believing in him gives us God's approval, gives us divine approval. But Here's a good picture. This is actually very similar to what the Jews use to show righteousness. And why they show it this way is that the scales are balanced. That there is not one over here that's like, oh, I've just been, you know, sinning all day long. Or, you know, it's like, or, you know, you're just all holy. And you know, it's like, there's a balance. And that's righteousness. Righteousness is a fully balanced life. Fully verdict that you are equitable. There's equity throughout your whole life. That's pretty good news, isn't it? Now, guys, we can't do that on our own. I've tried to live righteous. It's called self-righteousness. And I don't know if you've ever been around anybody that's self-righteous, but oh my goodness, it can get stinky. Because their righteousness is much better than your righteousness. Because they have done whatever, you know, like the Pharisees or the scribe who's standing in the Pharisee, I think a scribe, standing in the back going, Lord, I thank you that I fast twice a week and that I give my alms and I do all these amazing things. And I'm definitely a lot like that publican in the front of the church, mm-hmm. You know. The guy up front is beating his chest, Lord, forgive me, I'm a sinner. And Jesus says he was the one that was justified because he wasn't self-righteous. He was relying on God. Hi! He was relying on God to be his righteousness, to be his equity. So let's look at this. If we put this all together, it's the Holy Spirit, the second thing that he does is convince the world, or us, with solid, compelling evidence that they need God's divine approval. And the only way you get God's divine approval is by believing in Jesus. You don't get God's divine approval by living a perfect life. As a matter of fact, sometimes living a perfect life and you trying to do everything to get God's divine approval can make it so that you're not getting it. Because you're not relying on him, you're relying on your own efforts. And this is tough for Christians. Because, you know, we have like a manual that tells us how we're supposed to live. And so, you know, you can get your pen and paper out and you start saying, okay, don't talk bad about my neighbor. Okay, there's one. Let's see. And these are ones, you know, that are kind of the undercurrent, you know, that maybe you've been walking a while. Okay, prefer others before me. And so you write this whole list and you think, okay, because I'm not doing the bad stuff. You think. I'm not doing the bad stuff. So you get this list of the ones that are the that they kind of trip you up, so you start saying, okay, I'm going to start preferring others before me. I'm going to stop backbiting people, you know, all these things that are still part of the sin nature. And so you start living up to this list. And guess what? I'm doing it. I'm righteous. And so your prayers become more and more like, you know, Lord, I thank you for allowing me to not be backbiting people. And it gets to be that your prayers are no longer of need of him. They're more like exclaiming of how good you are. That's what that poor scribe and Pharisee did, because they lived the law. Let's not live the law. Does that make sense? So, of righteousness. So this is why the Holy Spirit's doing this. Of righteousness, because I go to my Father and you see me no more. Again, it's about the need that we have for Jesus, the belief in him. It's all about Jesus. It's not about their current state, because their current state will be fixed if they turn their eyes to Jesus. Man, Jesus is the answer. I think one day, didn't I preach a sermon or a message that was, it's all God or something like that? It's all Jesus? Because it is. If we would realize that all of our problems are going to be solved by us looking to God. All of them. Pastor, how can you say that? I mean, you know, what, I've got financial issues, you know, I've got relationship issues. How are those going to be solved by just looking to God? Because if you look to God and you rely on him for the answers, he will bring the results. I guarantee it. Yes, absolutely. Come on up. The mic is fine.
Here.
It's right here. We're hiding it on you. Yeah.
Thank you. Bless you all. just wanted to go over the conviction part. You know, being raised, you know, in the church, we always thought it was our job to convict people's hearts into salvation or
right.
Shame into salvation and stuff. But I think the time sometimes we struggle a lot with the conviction. You know, and that comes with believing and being filled with the Holy Spirit. And we're all, the Lord loves us.
Mm-hmm.
Loves the sinner. He loves everyone. And I believe without a shadow of a doubt that he brings that conviction into our heart.
He does.
And it's up to us to answer the call. My job is to pray for the sinners and reach out to them, yes, care for them. But I truly believe the conviction comes from the Holy Spirit and the power from the Word of God just speaking to them. And I've learned that, you know, it's crazy because, you know, me and Gina always talk about it, you know, and you can tell when a person is being convicted by sometimes just with our presence, because you know, I know the Holy Spirit. I'm filled with the Holy Spirit. I know the Lord walks with me day and night. And I know when a person who is struggling in their Christian walk, I notice it in their, when they're being convicted in their heart, when I speak to them, and they get jittery. They don't want, and it's not my job to poke. You know, the Holy Spirit gives us the spirit of discernment and how to approach them with love or with some firmness. You know, the Lord will help you because he loves that person. He loves you and he loves me. You know, but when conviction comes into our heart, it's up to us how we're going to respond to it. And I believe the Lord's always touching and reaching out to us. Hey, don't do that.
Exactly.
The Lord's always... He's done it to me. Hey, knock it off. I'm like, what? Hey, just knock it off. I'm like, oh. It's up to me if I want to walk in my stubbornness and say, no, I'm right. And then I could throw every scripture at him, you know, trying to convince myself of the truth. And he said, knock it off. He's spoken to me lots of times like that. Quit it. Don't do that.
Not the way I made you.
Yeah. And he's also given me a warm embrace. And you're like, oh, man, I shouldn't be doing that. You know? But conviction is the biggest part. I mean, it's not up to us to bring conviction, to browbeat somebody. But I truly believe that the Holy Spirit will touch our loved ones, each and every individual that we're praying for, and leave it in their hands. I know it hurts sometimes, especially with family members, and as much as we want them to get it, or loved ones, we want them to get it, and just, hey, knock it off. Come on, get with the program. You know? But believe in the Lord. Have faith that the Lord's doing that work in them. Because sometimes we have to look back at us and say, hey, I remember when I was being knucklehead, you know, and you know, when the Lord came and embraced me and I repented, said, thank you, Lord, for your warm embrace.
Yeah.
You know, we have to extend that compassion out to our brothers and sisters and say, hey, Lord, touch them, you know, for they know not what they do, right? That's what the Lord's words were. He said, hey, they don't know what they're doing. You know, but thank God for the Comforter. Thank God for the Holy Spirit who brings conviction into
Amen.
Our hearts. And listen to Him.
Amen.
He's our Comforter.
Yeah.
Listen to Him. In that moment in your stubbornness, listen to Him. In that moment of hurt, listen to Him. In that moment of rebellion, listen to Him. He's always speaking to us. He wants to speak to us. Don't shut Him out. Don't shut Him out. It doesn't matter in the situation you're in. When you're being convicted, fall on your knees, pray. You know, thank you, Lord, because you still love me, because you're still talking to me. He's our Comforter. Mm-hmm. He's our healer. He's our everything.
Yeah.
And I just wanted to share that with you, because conviction is the biggest part. It's the first step in repentance and realizing that, oh, man, I'm not right. I need you. Thank you, Lord, because you love me and you corrected me. I don't have to browbeat nobody. I don't have to beat anybody up with my words or, you know, you shake people down. No, that's the Holy Spirit's job, you know, and He knows what we need for that moment in that time. Bless you.
Amen. That's good, bro. That's really good. Yeah.
I was just going to say that it is not, like y'all are saying, it's not our job to convict, but it is our job to encourage them when we know somebody's being convicted of something. It is our job to step in and pray with them.
Oh, absolutely. Or pray for them.
Encourage them in God's love.
Right. Exactly.
And so you need to remember to tell people that. Mm-hmm. You know, instead of saying, yeah, you're right. Or you should be in church. No, it's our job to encourage them when they are in that church.
Right. Mm-hmm. It's not our job to, like Moses was saying, convince them that they're evil and rotten, dirty sinners. It's our job to, when they have that happening in their heart, to point them to the answer
for
their condition. Because listen, we're not the solution for their condition. Jesus is.
Right.
And you know, our folks, as hard as this is, it's them coming to church isn't necessarily their solution for their condition. Jesus is. Now, they may find Jesus, but their answer is to turn to God. Their answer is to turn to Jesus and that work of the cross, and to have them fully, you know, released from their bondages and chains.
Right.
And from their shame. Like, that was shame that she was saying, I'm not a good person. It's like, yeah, well, yeah, there's an answer. Yeah. Amen. So, convict the world of the judgment to come. Now, I would read this, and I would say to myself, oh, yes, Holy Spirit's going to make people, like, terrified that there's a judgment coming and that they need to turn or burn. Again, you know, turn or burn. I'm just telling you, those were some mindsets and thoughts that I had in
those
the past.
Those were bumper stickers.
Those were bumper stickers. Turn or burn. But that's not, again, what this is necessarily saying. So if you look at the word judgment, means judgment emphasizing its qualitative aspect that can apply either to a positive verdict for righteousness or more commonly a negative verdict, which condemns the nature of sin that brings it on.
Romans 8:1.
So if we look here, we have a judgment, a positive or negative verdict. So the Holy Spirit, if we look here, is to convince the world with solid, compelling evidence. See, the Holy Spirit, conviction is the Holy Spirit through his wisdom and being the Spirit of truth, giving us evidence in our heart that's compelling evidence that there's going to be a positive or negative verdict passed. It's almost like Holy Spirit is there to give us a choice. Just like Moses was saying, son, don't do that anymore. Mm-hmm. Daughter, don't do that anymore. That's not the way I designed you. That's not becoming of you. That's not the actions of a child of mine. You know, he's bringing correction.
Mm-hmm. Go ahead. I just am, because it's curious to me that we have to hear the Holy Spirit in order to know whether we're to go or not, or say or not, or do or not. Do you know what I'm saying? Because I have been this morning even convicted of something the Lord gave to me to pray about. I'm not supposed to say anything. I'm supposed to continue to pray about it and let him do the work. I don't need to butt in. I don't need to be the one to go in and say, listen, this is what God says, blah, 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 and this is what you need to do, blah, 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 blah. So we have to be sensitive enough, like Vicky, to know whether or not it's okay for us to say, hey, honey, listen, that's shame that the enemy's bringing to you. That's not God. Or just don't say anything at all. Just pray. And so we have to be sensitive enough to the working of the Holy Spirit within us to know whether, and sometimes I've plowed through and done it anyway, and it's not been a very good outcome. It was not a godly thing that I say something. And I did say something, and I ended up hurting somebody. And I have had to go back and repent and say, I'm sorry, it wasn't my intent to hurt you. Please forgive me, you know, whatever. So we have to be very careful that we're hearing the Holy Spirit and not thinking, oh, because this is, you know, this goes along with the Bible, you know, the way of the Bible, it's okay for me to say it. Just because what you have to say is right does not give you a right to say it.
I thought that was just for little kids.
Nope. That's for all of us. So we have to know that God is giving us the leeway, saying, yes, it's okay, or stop. And that comes down to our obedience to pray and ask.
And to be tuned in.
Tuned in, yeah.
So, again, looking at this, where are we at here? Again, convince the world with solid, compelling evidence that there's going to be a positive or negative verdict being passed. So, my reading this, previous would have been that there's judgment coming again because they're dirty, rotten sinners. I was a dirty, rotten sinner. I mean, that the reason why judgment was coming and the Holy Spirit was going to convict me of judgment or the world of judgment was because of our conduct.
Right.
But get this, that's not what it says at all. It says of judgment because the ruler of this world is judged. Now, what is that saying? In other words, it's saying Holy Spirit's there to tell us that judgment is coming, but there's no reason to be judged improperly because he's already been judged. The one who gets judgment now is the ruler of this world because Jesus took the punishment for all of mankind. It's almost like this. Jesus said, you know what, Father? The world is totally guilty of disobeying you. It says all have sinned, all have missed that mark and fall short of the glory of God. That says that, right? So Jesus says, Father, I'm going to be the lamb that was slain. And by the way, he did this before the world was even created. So go try to figure that one out. But I'm going to be the lamb that was slain. And so I will take that judgment. I will take that judgment for mankind. So you're saying, well, Jesus is the one that has a judgment. No, what happened is he took the judgment here for us, but then the judgment sentence then went on the enemy, and Jesus made a public spectacle of him. And so Jesus doesn't even have the judgment anymore. The judgment went to the enemy of our souls. So Jesus is free. We are free. The only reason that we will be judged if we stand on his side.
Right.
In other words, we don't ever turn our eyes towards Jesus. If we turn our eyes towards Jesus and say, Lord, you know what? Here's this conviction. Lord, forgive me. I've done things that have displeased you, and I just want to surrender my heart and my life into your hands. All that judgment has now been removed from you, and it's where it belongs, on the enemy of our souls. Isn't that awesome?
That's awesome. That's good news.
That is good news. So the three things again, when he comes, he will convict the world of sin, of righteousness, and of judgment. Thank you, Lord. So, I surrender. Lord, I just want to focus a moment here on surrendering our hearts and our lives to you. If there's been anything, Lord, that we've held back from you, if there's been anything that we have thought that we know better, that your ways, even though they may be higher than our ways, they don't line up with our ways. And because of that, we won't yield and we won't surrender, Lord, to your plan for our lives. And Lord, especially if you have something better for us, if we release, Lord, what we've been holding on to, and you have a greater gift, you have a greater life for us to live for you, Lord, I pray that we would be willing to surrender to that today. Father, I just want to pray right now for Jesse. Lord, I pray that you would just bring healing to his body. Lord, he loves you, and he has surrendered his heart to you, and he is your child. And Lord, we know that healing is the children's bread. So Lord, right now, we just release your perfect work of healing over Jesse. Lord, touch every area, Lord, of his lower intestines and his colon, Lord, with a miracle touch from heaven right now in Jesus' name. We ask you to bless him with your presence, with your strength, and your encouragement, Lord. And we pray that he would be fully restored, Lord, so that he's able to do all the things that he desires to do physically once again. Lord, we thank you that you are his healer. You have declared it, and we agree with that right now in Jesus' name. And we just bless you today, Lord. We thank you, Lord, that you're working in all of our lives, even if we don't see it. And we just ask that you would be with us all this week. Help us to live, Lord, thinking of you, with you on our mind, with what you've accomplished, Lord, on the cross, Lord, now empowering us to live each day for you, empowered with the power of the Holy Spirit. In Jesus' name. Hallelujah.
Amen.
Amen. So, Joe and Christine, you want to pray for people? Yes. Oh, an update on your nephew. Yes, he's in Texas still, right? And go ahead and explain it, because not everybody maybe remembers the story.
So for those of you guys that don't know, I have a nephew that's 21, Katie? I think he's 21. He's in the Marines, and he came down for Thanksgiving break, and right before he was going to leave, he got into an accident at a bonfire, and his whole body got burnt. 70% of his body got burnt. And I remember talking to his brother the next morning when it happened. They were in Seattle and Harborview, and he said, oh, you know, they're saying that he's supposed to be in the hospital for at least a whole year. You know, he's going to be, it was just the severity of everything. And So we went to go see him the next day. We went, and it was just, you know, it's horrible seeing, you know, some, a loved one, you know, in that state. And they flew him to San Antonio. That's where he's getting his care. And after 92 days, he was released from the hospital.
Oh, wow.
Yeah. So he's,
praise the Lord.
He's still in San Antonio with my sister, and they're taking him to his appointments every day and for therapy. He's walking and talking. And so it's just, you know, miracle after miracle. Just the day before yesterday, my sister texted me and said, you know, he's able to move his toes. He wasn't able to move them at all, and now he's moving them. And so it's just, you know, God has just been so great. I mean, you know, a year into the hospital and, you know, 92 days and he's released. And we're going to operate the hole in his, because he had a trach, but it's closing on its own, so they don't have to go in and operate on that.
Wow.
And so, and then I just wanted to let you guys know, too, that, you know, we haven't been missing church. We've been going to my mom's church where my sister goes there in Wapato, and I've been helping my brother interpret because he preaches in Spanish, and so I interpret in English because there's really nobody there to help. And so, you know, I love going there. It's a small church like this one, too, but, you know, just gives you a, you know, nostalgic feeling, you know, because when we grew up, these, you know, all these songs that we had. And so, you know, it's fun. You see all the kids just running around, you know, going haywire. But, you know, they're my nieces and nephews. So I'm like, be quiet. We're trying to preach, you know. But but we're not like, you know, we're not home. We're, you know, we're helping. Yeah, we're not heathens. The Lord is convicting us to go to my mom's church right now. She's like, I just love when you guys come, you know. But and we're also going to go see my nephew this Sunday. We'll be over there in San Antonio for a whole week.
Oh, awesome.
So we'll be gone. And when I booked the flight, I didn't realize that it was actually Easter Sunday. I'm like, oh my gosh, it's Easter Sunday. We're leaving. But we're going to be over there. And he's really... you know, he's happy that we're going, and he's got, you know, family members going. And
that's awesome.
I haven't seen my sister since when they took off in November, you know, that November 29th, and that was the last time I'd seen her, just through text, and she called me like one time. It's just that's how busy they are over there with, you know, now he's just going to therapy every day. He's got a lot of, you know, recovery to do. Right. But it's just miracle after miracle. I mean, you know, you don't hear stuff like that. And he said he wants to, they were asking him what he wanted to do. And he said he, you know, he wants to be a physical therapist. You know,
oh, wow.
This, yes. And just like a counselor and help, you know, help people in his situation. You know, he got burned from his face all the way down, you know. So, and I do have a video of him. So if you guys want to see it, you guys can see it after church. But it's just amazing the things that God's doing in his life. And you know, we know that God does have a purpose and a plan for everything. And he still doesn't remember the night that it happened, but... You know, it's not like he has to remember it right now, but
yeah,
you know, we just, or yeah, but we just want to thank God for everything because, and thank you all for your prayers because, you know, he's got so many people behind him praying for him and he knows that and he's so thankful and so is my sister. So anyways,
amen.
God bless you.
That's awesome. Praise the Lord. What a great testimony.
Well, and then testimony about Jesse is that when this normally happens, he's in the hospital normally for 3 weeks or more, and he's so hopefully going to be released today, which means it's less than a week.
Yeah.
So God is really moving in his body and really bringing healing. And I believe that's a testament to us praying for him. And praying for your nephew. I mean, God is a healer, and he is willing.
Amen.
And so we've had people after people, testimony after testimony of people being healed. So Joe and Christine are going to be up here. If anybody needs prayer, make sure and come up. It doesn't just have to be for healing.
Yeah, just for healing, and, right.
And just come up and just, you know, believe. Amen.
Amen. Praise the Lord. Okay, guys, have a wonderful day. Be blessed.
Thank you, Jerry.
Thank you, Jerry. Yes, Jerry did a great job. He's hiding behind the equipment today, so...